Welcome back to the...
I didn't think you were going to start that quick. I went to...
Cough. Welcome...
Okay.
This is the new intro, right here. Just us not saying anything, coughing over each other, and then they're laughing for like 30
seconds. So we started this during the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm fine, by the way. Okay. All right, you ready?
Get the coughing out.
Hold on, let me take a drink. Okay, I think we're good.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Welcome back. Oh my god! What the heck?
Why did you do that again?
That was the exact time. Accident.
That's impressive, I gotta say. Like, I'm impressed with myself there.
Perfect timing. Oh my god. Okay. Welcome back to the Glitches and Gearhead podcast, rated 5 stars by no one yet. I'm here with my co-host Devin.
Hi.
And my co-host Jordan.
Hi.
This one doesn't count.
What? How does this count?
Well, now it doesn't.
Because I was laughing the entire freaking time.
Screw right. it. And my co-host, Jordan.
Hi.
This is all going in, by the way.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Cut this.
Nope, it's not being cut.
Start over.
I'm the editor.
Start over.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll start over then.
Unless you really want to use that one.
I'm still putting it in, though.
Oh, God. You could put it in like a blooper, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, all right, man.
All right, get your coughs out.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay. Welcome back to the Glitches and Gearhead podcast, rated 5 stars by no one yet. I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
Hey.
And my co-host, Jordan.
Hi.
I don't like
and
it.
What?
I don't like it. I didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like how I said hey. I really just didn't.
All right. Then say I'm going to say it a couple times, and then you say a couple different ways, and then you pick your favorite, all right?
Okay.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
How's it going? Nope.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
Hey. Nope.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
What's up?
So just cough. That'll be your intro.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
Hey.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
Hey.
I'm here with my co-host, Devin.
I don't like any of these.
I think you just don't like yourself. I think that's
maybe that's it. I hate myself. That's right.
Yeah. So just say whatever. It doesn't matter. Oh my god. Okay. Something really crazy happened this week, or it's been festering for a couple weeks. And I know you guys know about it. The Fortnite getting banned on not only the Apple Store, but also the Google Play Store.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I heard about that one the other day.
So this is pretty nuts because basically it's Epic Games making a power move against people that have all the power. So it's like they're trying to basically say that it's unfair that Apple and Google are taking a percentage of like all their in-app purchases. So like every time someone purchases V-Bucks through the app or anything like that, Apple and Google get a percentage of that, which is in the terms of conditions of having an app on the App Store. Like,
right.
Everyone knows that. And then just all of a sudden, Epic is like, you know what? I'm going to, without saying any, telling anyone, I'm going to totally bypass that and make it cheaper, not only cheaper for them to buy directly from us, but I'm going to make it cheaper. And then it's so they're still going to be able to use that on the app. So, right. Okay.
So here's the thing. Apple and Epic have actually been talking about this for a while. And Epic asked Apple a while ago to basically just like cut them a deal. And they actually have a track record of doing this. Apple currently has they charge a 30% commission with all developers, except Amazon. They only have a 15% commission.
Yeah, but you got to think about it this way. These are mobile games. Amazon is a multi-trillion-dollar company. So, yeah. I mean, can those really be compared, though? In my opinion, they can't be compared.
Think about how many people play Fortnite and how many kids have their parents' credit card Fortnite right there. Is.
But if we're talking like stats, we're talking about a $1 billion company versus a $1 trillion company.
But now they're making $0 off of it because it's banned.
But does it really matter? Because they're losing in the grand scheme of things, both these companies are $1 trillion companies. Plus, you know, you said that Amazon has a special deal with Apple already. So right there, you know, that's pretty much all they need. So when Epic Games does this, in my opinion, from Apple's perspective, I mean, I think they're just like, whatever, like, all right, do your own thing. It's not going to hurt us none. Like, yeah, okay,
you know what else is really interesting?
It's hurting the consumer, though, like, hard.
Yeah, then that's the power move on Apple, because they're going to force Epic to be like, all right, well, I guess I have to do it because all my people that want to play this and all my fans are going ape crazy that they can't play on their mobile.
They're not mad at Epic. They're mad at Apple.
You brought up a few minutes ago, just to backtrack real quick, that they do have, Apple has a deal with Amazon for only 15%, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, interestingly enough, Epic Games is hosted by Amazon. Amazon Web Services hosts almost the entirety of Epic Games.
Well, I mean, Amazon servers host like a lot of games, though.
Right. Yeah, but wouldn't you think that being as, you know, Fortnite is part of that and it's one of Epic's biggest games, if not the biggest game that they have, and they're partnered with Amazon, do you think that would be part of the reason why they were asking for a price break in that? Being as their parent or like almost a parent company type thing has it.
No.
Because why wouldn't they just go ahead and ask Amazon? If Amazon had that much like stake in Epic, then they should have been able just to go through Amazon.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like an Epic has or Amazon has stake in Epic. It's just that they're using their servers.
Yeah.
Which so does true. A lot of games, like I said.
So yeah, I mean,
and the thing is though, like, okay, it gets banned from the Apple Store. That sucks for anyone who has an iPhone because you can't get your apps anywhere except from the Apple Store. It gets banned from the Google Store. Oh, well, you can still get it from other stores because Android has access to other stores.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what sucks. And also, this is not only affecting Epic Games, like Epic's games on the App Store. This is affecting any game on the App Store that uses the Unreal Engine. Like any game that uses the Unreal Engine, it's not going to be able to be updated.
I did just read that today, and I didn't dive too much into that, but yeah, that's crazy because I don't know. I'm not too like, I don't know too much about app games, but I know that in like, you know, AAA games, the Unreal Engine is a very like prominent engine that a lot of people use.
Yeah. I think it might be the most widely used game engine.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I could see that.
Probably.
What do you guys think about the lawsuit aspect of it, that Fortnite is now suing Apple over this?
Yeah, they're not suing for money.
No.
They don't even want financial reimbursement.
yeah, it's more of just like a status type thing. Like they just want, you know, some
it's
sort
really
of
strange
different outcome, which yeah, it does it doesn't it seem strange to just it, you know, you have this golden opportunity right there. But do you think maybe they're afraid to sue for money right now because they did agree to those terms and conditions in the very beginning?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why. Yeah. Because they agreed to that, and then all of a sudden they want to not agree to that. That's not how contracts
work.
Because
like Google Play has made a statement, or Google's made a statement saying that the terms of hosting on their Play Store are non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already put that out after this whole thing started.
And Apple has said the same thing, that they're not going to change that terms and conditions for one person, because then
but clearly they did.
Up.
They did for Amazon.
Well, that's not a game though.
But it's still,
right,
a,
but it's still,
it's
an
still
app.
A large corporation. Like it's still
yeah.
an app.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but I honestly when these app like makers and like these little app game developers go to Apple, they're not going to be like, oh, we want a less percent. And then when Apple says no, they'll be like, oh, yeah, but what about Amazon?
Well,
and then Apple's going to be like, well, Amazon brings us in trillions of dollars a year. Are you going
to
do that?
No. So, yeah, but you have to think about, like, I doubt they bring in trillions of dollars, but
I just looked up the figures. In 2019, Fortnite reported $1.8 billion in revenue.
Yeah, maybe not true.
But that's just Fortnite. That's just Fortnite.
Amazon brought in $280 million in revenue.
Million or billion?
Billion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Did I say
that's
million?
Big difference. Yeah,
you said million.
My bad.
But when you think about it, it's not just
it's 280
Fortnite.
Times
it's
what they're
any
making.
Game. It's any game that uses the Unreal Engine, though. Now, no game that uses the Unreal Engine is going to be able to be updated. So no one's going to buy it. So it's not just Fortnite that the App Store is losing. And that's not the only revenue they're losing. And the fact that they have this deal with Amazon shows that they are willing to like wheel and deal.
But,
at least
but
for
look at
someone.
The scale. Look at the scale there. Say Amazon's like, say it's like maybe 15-20%. It's probably a higher figure of their revenue comes from app sales. Like in-app purchases from Amazon. I mean, that's still more than what Fortnite brings in total.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
and you have
to
you have to think too, you have to think too, Amazon owns Twitch as well. And Twitch is huge, the largest streaming service in the world right now.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if the Twitch app I don't know how well I can't really speak as to how like the Twitch
yeah,
app
I mean
like,
I don't know either, but
benefits
if,
Apple as far as like money
yeah, if
goes.
Amazon and Apple are in some kind of agreement, I would assume that a lot of, you know, Amazon's top performers are going to be in that somewhere in that deal as well.
I think what just sucks about it is mainly like there's these two multi-billion dollar corporations going head to head, and at the end of the day, the people that are getting hurt the worst are, you know, the indie game devs who are just trying to use like the Unreal Engine, and now they're getting screwed.
Yeah,
yeah, that is true.
That's for sure. Especially on the mobile platform, because I mean,
yeah,
we talked about this a little bit last week about the mobile gaming type thing, how it's not, you know, as big as, you know, console or competitive wise, but it's still a huge market.
The mobile gaming platform is way bigger than console or PC.
What?
Yeah, mobile gaming is the biggest. No, mobile gaming is the biggest form of gaming right now, worldwide.
I
like on the phone.
Yeah,
I doubt.
Yeah, that's a tough sell for me, bud.
You're gonna have to show me the facts on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna need some stats
because
for sure.
I don't believe that at all. Because I mean, think about how many console sales and computer sales and freaking Steam sales there are every day, 24/7.
Mobile,
you know,
this
365.
Is the first article that came up when I typed in mobile versus PC versus console. Mobile is the largest platform. Mobile is the most popular platform.
Wow. Okay.
For video
games.
For gaming. Yeah.
46% are mobile and tablet. 31% are console games, and 23% are PC. That's the overall stats there. Yeah, that's a tough one to believe, honestly.
Eastern countries in particular, like China and Japan, love mobile gaming. Like, it is huge over there.
Yeah.
Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the more I think about it, I mean,
everybody has a phone.
Literally everyone has a phone.
Yeah,
a phone is a necessity nowadays. It's not a luxury like a console would be or a PC would be.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yep, that makes sense. I could see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe it, but
it sucks to believe. Yeah, like, oh, man.
I just feel like it can't be as competitive, but I guess if everybody's playing on that device anyway, there's just as competitive as a scene as a PC versus a PC.
All right. So, man, this would have been more interesting last week because now I feel like it's a little less applicable, but platform exclusives, particularly Sony, that seems to be like one of their big things is not only having like big, you know, platform exclusive titles like, you know, Spider-Man PS4, which is fine having like an exclusive title to your system. But Sony seems to have a track record, at least recently, of making exclusives on games that are also on other platforms. And the most recent thing is in the new Avengers game, you can only play as Spider-Man on the PS4 version.
That's like kind of weird.
Limited DLC.
Yeah.
Strange.
Which, again...
strange way of marketing that.
This doesn't matter
too
much.
What's the benefit there is...
This doesn't matter too much about the Avengers game because apparently that game sucks like big time.
Yeah.
But I mean,
as far as
the advantages, like people feel more inclined to buy a PS4 and the PS4 version of the game because otherwise you're not playing like the full game. Basically, it kind of feels like, you know.
Yeah, but I will say that back to like just saying about Sony exclusives. Sony exclusive has like. I think Sony exclusives are literally the best exclusives there are because
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then just for the fact that their exclusives are exclusive because they don't really share with PC. They do share with like Steam and that kind of thing just to have their games on PC. But as far as like, it's not like Xbox where like, you buy an Xbox game and you have the game on PC as well because they're like the same company.
Yeah,
right.
But as far as like, you know, Sony exclusives goes beyond freaking video games too. They're doing more work on the PlayStation Move and creating some really crazy graphic design type of app that you can use with the Move that is like supposedly revolutionary and no one has done it and it's supposed to be really great.
I forgot what it's called. But yeah, I mean, I have no problem with console exclusive titles like, you know, Microsoft has you know, Halo for the Xbox and Sony has, you know,
Uncharted
and Spider-Man and Horizon Zero Dawn until recently when it just released on Steam. And I think
Final Fantasy 2.
Was that Steam or Sony only? Final Fantasy 7?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So, I mean, that's fine. But it really sucks when you get into, I think, exclusives for games that are also available on other platforms. Like it happened in Destiny when Destiny released, or Destiny 2.
With PlayStation,
there was like exclusive strikes and whole missions and exotics. Yeah, exotics you could only get if you played on PS4 version
and
of Destiny.
Like even in the first Destiny, Hawkmoon, you couldn't get that unless you were on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. PS3 at the time. I played that game when it launched and I didn't know that, but I played on PlayStation,
so like you don't know, but someone playing it on Xbox just doesn't have that, and
that's okay.
That
so
sucks.
That's weird because
that's a top tier item.
Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about that because why Destiny? So Destiny was considered a PlayStation exclusive?
No. Like, they just have exclusive things in that game that you can only get on PlayStation.
Oh.
So you can get the game on either console, but you could only do certain things on PlayStation that you didn't have access to. There was just no way of doing it on Xbox until way later. It was
or never. Like the new Avengers game, if you buy it on anything other than PS4, you'll never get to play as Spider-Man.
That's strange. Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Or Monster Hunter World, you can only get a gun called the Adept Stormslinger, which was part of the Horizon Zero Dawn crossover. You can only get that on a PS4 version of Monster Hunter World.
Wow. That is very strange.
And I think they're just using it as a tactic to try to draw people over to their console, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly a smart marketing.
It's smart, but is that not consumer friendly? That sucks.
Yeah. Cuz think about it, when you were, 10 and your parents decided that you could get a console, right? And you're like, hey, which one do I want, PlayStation or Xbox? I mean, you make your choice then and there, and then you're stuck with that. You can't, switch back and forth. It's not like you have that disposable income to go and get the opposite thing just to get a certain item or...
Right.
And then you're really stuck.
And then your friend that's playing on Xbox or that's playing on... PlayStation is like, oh, look at this great gun I just got. And you're like, how do I get that?
Oh, I can't.
yeah.
Or let's say PC is ahead of PS4 right now. Let's say, oh, I want to play Destiny on PC. Oh, but I want to play at, 60 plus FPS with 144p or 1440p, but I want that gun. I want those guns. But if I want those guns, I have to play on, 30 FPS, 1080p.
Okay, so I will say this, though. This is a great marketing by Sony because these other, like, Xbox could do the same thing. They're just not.
And they have. Let me just say that. They have in the past. I forget which game exactly they did it with.
Oh, yeah. I know they do it, too. They've done it. Sony tends to do it more.
They've done it more now that they're winning the console race.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think of some of the titles that they have over on Sony also. Because they have... Sony owns, part of Spider-Man's rights. They own certain movies, certain things like that. Their studio. Microsoft is strictly, computers and software stuff like right. They make games, but it's also
Sony
less
is so
of a pop wrong. Culture thing, and Sony is very in depth and surrounded by pop culture.
Yeah,
they create many things.
Yeah, and like you said, Sony is so broad. You see Sony's names on movies, box office, multi-million dollar sellers with Sony's name on that. And that's crazy for them to be if not in the lead or at the top of the game in so many different areas. I mean,
it seems to be that there's almost this divide being made right now between it almost seems like Xbox is becoming the more consumer-friendly console, but PlayStation has the exclusives, and if you want to play the exclusives, then you need to buy a PlayStation. And it kind of goes into another point I had on here. We don't have to dig into it super, super deep, but PS4 controllers working with the PS5, but not for PS5 games.
What?
Yeah, so you'll be able to use your PS4 controllers for PS4 games, because I think it's going to be backwards compatible, but you can't use the PS4 controller for a PS5 game.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's how it's going to work. And all the new games that are coming out, Sony has basically said, I believe, last I heard, was I think they're not going to be making games for PS4 and PS5. Games are going to be made exclusively for PS5 once the PS5 comes out or shortly thereafter.
Very strange.
Whereas Microsoft said, we're going to still support the Xbox One for at least a year.
That's really weird. Like to make it a controller thing. I mean,
yeah.
And I didn't think they did that much to the new controller.
It didn't look like it, did it?
No, it
really doesn't. It doesn't look too much like it. I mean, I could see them upgrading some of the technologies in it, maybe making it more responsive, less response time between the button hit and the action, but I can't really see too much more that they actually did to it, like physically.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, strange. But, I mean, Sony's always winning.
I mean, it is what it is, and I don't see it changing unless it starts to go bad for Sony.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, to kind of shift gears here and get away from video games, I just heard that Dodge came out. I think it was just they announced a new truck that they will be making called the Dodge Ram TRX.
Yes, and I've heard of that.
It has the Hellcat engine in it with 702 horsepower, the supercharged V8. It has huge wheels, a huge track, and to be honest, in my opinion, it's the nicest looking Ram I've ever seen.
I mean, it looks like it's made to be competition to a Raptor, huh?
Yeah, it's made to kill a Raptor. Yes, it'll kill. I mean, if we're talking, so I did a little research on this because I was confused on the Raptors like trim levels and models because they've made a couple and I've heard of a couple like as far as like the Hennessy Velociraptor.
Yeah, which, but I mean that's like an aftermarket modification.
That's something very different.
Factory.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying because I looked it up and even though Ford and Hennessy were working together, it's not something you can buy off the lot. You have to go to Hennessy to get that car.
And it's so expensive to do it too.
And it's very expensive. So the Ford Raptor starts at 53, which is the V6 twin turbo, the EcoBoost, whatever. And it's 450 horsepower.
Jeez.
And this freaking Ram has the Hellcat V8 supercharged engine with the 702 horsepower. And it does start at 71, but you're getting
getting a new truck anyway. I mean, a new truck is not a cheap thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you get even like that into the Denalis, you're looking at 70, right? As a starting price tag.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're almost in like sports car territory when you're buying a high end truck.
So this is kind of my question right now. We have this 2021 Ram TRX that is on paper going to annihilate the Raptor.
Right.
It seems like in every way. So this begs the question, is Ford going to bounce back and try to come back at them with something that's comparable or better than this Ram?
No way. They can't.
How do you?
How can they? They're already using Hennessy Performance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like the top tier of the aftermarket, you know, royalty right there. They've been around forever. They've done amazing work over the years, but they already offer a package from that. But unless they make it a factory option, I can't see it going that way. And Hennessy just doesn't have the production capabilities to make it a factory option like that.
I think the thing is, how much does it matter though? Because I don't think anyone who freaking loves their Ford Raptor, most people who have a Ford Raptor and are looking at this, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get one of these, you know, because they're probably like, screw Dodge, Ford for life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that. But I also, when that Raptor came out, I saw that thing and I was like, wow, that's a really nice truck. And I'm not a truck person at all. And when I saw that Raptor, I was like, dang, that's something that I would buy.
But I think that's the thing. Like, none of us are truck people. Truck people, like, basically it's, okay, are you a Ford truck person or are you a Dodge truck person? Yeah. You know?
It's like a lifestyle.
I mean, yeah. Just looking at this truck makes me want to be a truck person.
Exactly.
It's doing the same thing that the Raptor did when the Raptor came out.
Yeah, it really is, but I think it's doing it better even. Because, I mean, you got a 4.5 second 0-60, which is insane for a truck. 702 horsepower, 650 pounds of torque. It's still going to tow. It's supercharged. You get that beautiful Hellcat whine. I don't know if you guys have ever been at a drag strip and seen a Hellcat run, but the whine that it lets out is just phenomenal. It sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
This truck comes from the factory with launch control.
Wow, I mean, what?
It's got launch control. It's got built-in reaction time timer, 60-foot timer, quarter-mile timer, and eighth-mile timer.
What?
What?
This, I did not know that.
Not only that, it also has almost a full foot of ground clearance at 11.8 inches, 13 inches of front suspension travel, 14 inches rear suspension travel, and it's got a rock crawler mode.
Wow.
That like launch thing, control, that bye launch bye control Bronco. Technology is almost like,
I mean,
Italian or like European supercar level. Like that's something you expect to see in a Ferrari.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Dodge's website for the Ram Trucks website where they have the reveal and all the info for it. This thing comes with a sport mode, which tightens up your suspension, gives you a 30-70 torque split. So it's running an all-wheel drive in sport mode, but you have 70% of your power coming from your rear wheels, which is insane. And it's got stability control so that you have a better grip on paved surfaces. Then you also have a snow mode, which is almost a 50-50 split.
Wow.
In your power. You also have your custom mode, which you could do whatever you want. It's got a mud and sand mode, and then a rock crawler mode, which is a full 50-50 torque split.
Oh my.
Wow. God,
that's a lot. That's.
This thing looks insane. And if I had the money sitting around, I would definitely be rolling in one of these as soon as it hits a lot.
It just has, it has everything you would want in a truck.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you want? That's ridiculous. Like that checks all the boxes.
Dodge even has a banner on their site saying it's inspired by the competition's nightmares.
Wow.
35-inch tires, which is, I think that's bigger than the Broncos tires that we talked about last week because those were, what, 33s that they're offering on that, on the biggest package? These are 35, so Dodge just comes out and smacks them in the face for that one. It looks super mean. The hood looks so aggressive. It's wide body.
Yeah.
This thing is insane. Freaking,
it looks so nice.
It looks good. Yeah.
The stock wheels are beadlock capable.
Oh my God. How did they fit all this in a truck?
Right? 35-inch Goodyear Wrangler Territory all-terrain tires developed specifically for this truck.
Wow.
And the interior, nuts, dude. The interior looks phenomenal. Like Dodge stepped up their game here.
Yeah,
you've got a heads-up display.
I'm looking at pictures of the interior, and I'm like, that's really good.
You've got a heads-up display, and let me say the images from this heads-up display make my 11 Camaro SS look like nothing. looks like it's a 2000s technology in my car compared to this.
And the it looks like the crew. The cab and the truck bed themselves are even bigger than the Raptor. So, like, I mean,
that's
like,
definitely
if you
possible.
If you have no loyalty to either one, you're definitely going to get this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of a given that you're going to go with this one if you had the choice.
Yeah.
That's freaking nuts. And
I mean, this truck is insane.
I mean, we gotta think Dodge too. Dodge is freaking like they're coming out. They're putting the Hellcat engine and everything.
If it fits, it's going in there.
Yeah,
man.
We got the Hellcat. You get the Hellcat engine in the Jeep Cherokee Trackhawk. You have
it, which is also insane. Yeah, that car is a monster.
You have
that SUV, I should say.
Yeah, you have it in the Dodge Challenger, the Dodge Charger. What else is it in? I know it's in more than that.
You got the Challenger, the Charger, and the Trackhawk, and now they're giving you a truck with it.
Now a truck, yeah.
That's insane. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand how they're making emission standards with these. Because it's over your whole fleet of cars, all your offerings. And Toyota...
And those Toyota, engines make 13 miles per gallon off the factory.
I mean, Toyota threw in, a Prius here so that they could get away with doing whatever they wanted for a while because they sell a Prius, which is low emissions. Dodge is just like, you know what? We're just going to take the hit. They're like, we're going to give you stuff you actually want to buy, and it's going to be enough to where we don't care about the emissions fine or something. There's got to be something that we're not seeing here behind the scenes, because I don't see Dodge coming out with any electric vehicles, no hybrid vehicles. I think the most fuel efficient thing they offer is probably like a Dodge Dart.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And that's not even insane on the miles per gallon or anything. That's not a super low emission car.
Yeah. So I do want to kind of say something, because with this whole, it's been from the beginning, one manufacturer makes a car and another manufacturer makes a car that either is supposed to compete with that car or is better than that car. And it's a constant back and forth. I mean, I think the most iconic right now is as far as American cars, you have the Dodge Challenger SRT Demon, and then to directly compete against that car, Chevy made the Camaro ZL1 Exorcist.
Hold on, the Exorcist was offered by Hennessy, though.
Yeah,
that's a Hennessy performance thing. You don't just buy that package from Chevy.
The Demon wasn't either, I thought.
The Demon was straight from Dodge.
What?
You could walk into Dodge and order a Demon, and I mean, that's the way that they did it. They didn't there was no, hey, let me buy a Hellcat and then send it off for 6 months to get it built.
Okay, so here's the question. Is Hennessy owned by Ford, or is Hennessy it's a separate company?
It does whatever it wants. They've made their own supercar before, which was the Hennessy Venom GT.
Yeah, the Venom.
And it was the fastest supercar for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
It beat the Bugatti Veyron for
I didn't know that. That's kind of like not scummy, but that's kind of like the easy way out on Chevy's part. Like, oh, okay, we got this people that make these crazy cars. You just make us a car that, will compete with these.
Well,
other
I don't
guys.
Think Chevy actually put up for that. I think Hennessy just offers that as a package.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, okay. I think Hennessy's because they're a major tuning company. They make their own stuff. I mean, the Venom GT runs a LS7 in it. It runs a Chevy motor in their supercar, their hypercar, even you could call it. But
I mean, that's I see. That is what I would consider a hypercar, because it comes from building it with over 1,000 horsepower.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And then on the same lines, you have the Ford Mustang RTR, which was to compete with those cars as well. But as far as that, the competition of this person makes this car, then I guess not in Chevy's case, but in Ford's case with the RTR, to compete with these other cars that are coming out, do you think that's going to be a reoccurring thing, or do you think that's going to start to die out more and more?
I mean, that's what fuels innovation, right?
Yeah. Competition. I mean, I don't see a stop to it. I just see it getting hopefully bigger, honestly. I mean, I don't want to see that sort of competition die out, because then we see a lull in, car enthusiasts and car culture as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to think about it kind of realistically in the fact that you have to admit that car culture is dying.
Oh, it is, but companies like Hennessy are trying to bring it back, in my opinion. They offer, if you look through their website, they offer things for, you can get a Cadillac Escalade worked on. You can get a Camaro SS worked on, a Dodge Charger, a Mustang GT, Jeep, Challengers, McLarens they do.
Wow.
They do Lamborghini. They do, you know, the Corvette, the GT500. They offer different versions of the Velociraptor build, not just for the Ford Raptor, but they also do it for the Ford Ranger now.
Oh, wow. That they also have cool. What the heck is that? Wait. Go back. The Ranger. What do they do for the Ranger? Because I really like the Ranger, the new one.
The Ranger, they offer 360 horsepower on it, which isn't anything insane, but it's a very light truck.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's extremely light.
It's a 4.90 to 60 versus a stock 7.4.
Yeah.
And then it gives you a quarter mile time of 13.9 instead of 15.2. So you get a pretty decent bump there for.
We need more companies like Hennessy.
Yeah,
we really do.
I think that's honestly the future of car culture is companies like Hennessy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
also make a Chevy Goliath 700, which is a 700 horsepower. It looks like a Silverado. Chevy Silverado. They bring it up to 700 horsepower.
Wow.
So, touching everything.
I would even put company like something like Koenigsegg kind of in a similar area as like Hennessy. Like, you know, Koenigsegg is not nearly as well known as Ferrari or Lamborghini or something like that. But they do kind of a similar thing to Hennessy where they just make these crazy, ridiculous cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
It was like the fastest car for quite a long time until I think the Bugatti Veyron came out. But then the Hennessy Venom comes out from this other, like, smaller third-party source and is the fastest supercar in the world for forever.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you building is always going to be something that can make improvements on what's already good. Because, I mean, in the Hennessy Venom, for instance, they took the LS7, which was a Corvette motor, and they supercharged it. They basically blew it out of proportion to what it was supposed to originally be to make this monster of a car. And so it's kind of inspiring to, you know, the enthusiasts that work on their own, whatever car they end up having, and then they change it up to do whatever they want with it. And it shows that that's possible to really be competitive in that respect, even without having a absolutely astronomical budget to just buy something amazing off the line.
Yeah. Also you have to think that these European, because there's a lot of European and European makers that are making these ridiculous cars. Like you said, the Koenigsegg, you have that one company,
Pagani.
You have Pagani, and then you have another one that's
Pagani's been around for a while.
Right. But I mean, they make only supercars. Yeah.
They don't make regular cars.
Yeah.
And then you have that one company, the name is leaving my brain, but they made the fastest electric car on the market right now. It's an electric supercar.
Yeah, I forget. I know what you're
ridiculous.
Talking about.
But like you have that, but as far as that's concerned, that really doesn't.
Oh, Rimac.
Yeah.
Yep.
But when you think of that, that doesn't really affect us because we're never going to be millionaires able to buy those cars. So it's like
you got to think the technology trickles down. I mean,
exactly.
That's the thing though. It's the trickle down technology effect. Like, you know, the military makes a new technology and then a couple of years later it's in our phones, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll all hit us eventually. And, you know, maybe it'll be 10, 15 years from now where we finally get, you know, our 1200 horsepower electric car. And it's somehow affordable, hopefully. I mean, we can hope.
But the realistic thing is that, like, I was just watching a documentary on this. It wasn't a like a AAA documentary, but it was just done by a guy that went to Japan, and he was talking about how in Japan the car culture is so like rich, and like in the 90s car culture was like so important, and like it was everywhere. Everywhere you went, you would see these kind of things, these little shops building these crazy cars, and just for like performance or just how they look, to make them look the best.
Yeah.
And you see that more and more dying out, especially in, even in Japan. And, you know, where did the Americans get their, you know, love for car culture? I think that car culture from Japan really trickled down into the Americas and like fueled that more. So as far as that, it's like, it's up to us as car enthusiasts to keep this going. And it's kind of, it's becoming hard because a lot of these things, it's, you know, expensive.
Yeah, it's out of reach.
To build like these cars, but
like the most we can do is, you know, talk about it and watch it on an episode of Grand Tour. Cause there's no way that I'm ever going to be in a position to go out and buy a Hennessey Venom GT,
so it's Koenigsegg like,
or anything, you know?
Yeah. So it's up to the people to keep this car culture alive, but also car manufacturers and the people that sell the parts for these cars is making it hard for us to do that, because, you know, we live in a world where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
So yeah, that's for sure.
It's like, it makes it so hard, and it's so sad to see that, because car culture is such an important part of my life, and it's so like amazing to see what it was like in the 90s, and like I just wish that was how it was now, but it's just sad to see that it's like it's something that's becoming more and more like
it's definitely going away. I niche. Mean, even when you look on TV, like back in the mid 2000s, there was a lot of shows like
Pimp My Ride.
What was it? Pimp My Ride.
And movies like
was Gas Monkey Garage or whatever it was. Yeah. And they're pretty much gone now. I don't think any of those are still on TV.
And then movies like Fast and Furious. Now Fast and Furious isn't really even about cars. It's just an action movie.
Yeah. I mean, they made a game recently which happens to have cars.
Oh my goodness. Just a little side. I watched a Critical play that game.
It's so bad.
How?
It's so bad.
I just want to know how. How did this trip, like, I don't know.
Hold on. What? 1 second. Because we got, I agree with you. The movies have gotten to be a bit out there. I mean, that's for sure. And yes, the game was absolutely horrid. But then you have also like Need for Speed, right? The game's incredible. The movie, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. Have you guys ever seen the Need for Speed movie?
I've seen the Need for Speed movie.
It's not good.
It was not great. It was very cringy at points, like throughout the movie.
Like the whole thing.
At points throughout the movie, as in the entire movie.
From the opening scene to the ending credits.
I will say there's a lot more cars in the Need for Speed movie than there is in the last 3 to 4 Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's true, but
the still. Whole point of the whole point of Need for Speed movie was literally the race the whole time, and in Fast and Furious, you're like, oh, family, and you know, we have to kill these guys because I don't know why, but we're being chased by the cop. Like, I don't even know the point of Fast and Furious anymore.
Now we're suddenly hauling a safe down the highway in Brazil.
Yeah. And then now we're going back to family. Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, and family.
Yeah.
It's all about family.
Okay. One thing.
Shut up, Dom!
Dominic's brother is John Cena in the new movie. What is that about?
Oh my God!
What is that about? Have you guys not seen the trailer yet?
No, I didn't know that. Oh, a new movie.
Yeah, for Fast and Furious 9, and then they announced 10 coming out in 2022.
Why couldn't they have just let it die?
10 is going to be the last one. They said 10 is the last one.
No,
but no,
it won't. It won't. That's what they said about 4.
Yeah, it's going to be Vin Diesel, like 80 years old, driving around in, you know,
a mobility scooter.
Yeah.
With a machine gun. With a machine gun.
With a machine gun, still killing like 100 dudes.
He's going to be
somehow not getting shot.
And then at the end, it's all about family.
It's all about family.
At his funeral, it was always about family.
I did it for
the
family.
And then a machine gun comes out of his casket and just like mows down everyone.
Oh God!
It was always about family. Just
you're coming with me, family.
Yeah. My ride or dies.
Yeah, exactly. There's no fork in the road this time.
No, but for real though, John Cena is supposedly Vin Diesel's brother in this movie.
Oh my God.
Like, how does that.
I have
and they're
to say,
enemies.
Though,
they're enemies.
Oh, that makes me want to watch it, though. I'm
I know. I mean, oh, Cardi B is also supposed to be in it.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
And then,
definitely.
You know what else is crazy? Han is back. He's alive. Somehow
what?
He survived that car crash, and they're supposed hey? To explain how.
No one dies in that except for Paul Walker, apparently, but he's not actually dead in the show, he's dead in real life.
Right.
But it's like they're pulling.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, but he's like I'm saying Paul Walker's character is not going to be back. And
right.
The only reason is because he can't.
Now,
like, they're pulling
just,
like some sci-fi
thing.
Level thing where like
yeah.
no one's actually dead. Death has
yeah.
no consequence.
Yeah, and they have Han driving the new Supra. Paul Walker in the movie, his wife or Dom's sister, she's coming back to reprise her role as
what
Dom's
did
sister.
She even do anything like
she had a kid once in the movie and now
did she
Dom
ever
and,
drive a car
no
maybe.
I don't think so
I don't know.
Oh no
I don't
yeah
so.
She did she did
she made a tuna with no crust
what
yeah in the first movie man
oh
tuna no
I don't
crust.
Remember that
oh come on
that. Did you just watch that last
guy.
Night or what
no that's a thing you've never you can't tell me you've never seen a bumper sticker that says tuna no crust or
nope.
the cream
no,
shirts
I have
that have
never ever.
Oh my God, look up just take a minute right now. Just take a minute. Type in Google tuna no crust or just type in tuna no and it'll pop up as like the first result. And they,
no,
they call
my
it
first
the tuna
result
scene.
Is vegan chickpea no tuna salad.
Okay, well that's not applicable. Type in tuna no crust.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound good though. I guess the
tuna,
first thing
no
that
crust.
Comes up is
Fast and Furious,
Fast and
tuna,
Furious
scene.
Tuna scene.
Yeah.
In parentheses.
Yeah.
What the heck?
It's okay. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'm done with that. All right.
The tuna.
It's enough tuna no crust.
No. Nope. Fast and Furious, man. It's
a dud. It's been a dud since 3. Just
yeah.
stop.
But you're
yeah.
still
going to
go see
stop.
It. You're still
no!
going to go see it.
No. No,
I'll
I'm going to
see it
go
when
see
it comes
it.
On Netflix in
I'll
you know,
see it
2024.
When, I'll see it when I accidentally stumble across it. Maybe never. I don't know.
You're going to watch it. You'll watch it.
No. Dude, I haven't watched since 4.
I see. I haven't wanted to watch since 4, but I've watched. I've seen all of them still.
You just inevitably end up watching. You wake
yeah,
up
I mean,
and you're like, how long have I been watching this?
No.
You
what
open
happens
your eyes
is you're like,
and your iPad is in there and you're like, what?
Huh? I remember
no.
everything. No!
Dom, why? Family!
It's about family.
Oh, God, this is going wonderfully, let me tell you.
Man, we went downhill. What happened?
I don't know.
I don't
family.
Know. We dragged
family
on about,
happened.
So quick recap here. We started off talking about Epic Games. Went on to the PlayStation exclusivity that we recently spoke about in our last episode. And then we moved on to the wonderful Dodge Ram
Truck.
Hellcat-powered engine, the Ram TRX.
The whiny boy.
And then we ended up rambling on for a little bit about Fast and Furious.
Waxing poetically.
Yeah.
It's all about family.
Anyway, But yeah, yeah. You know what? That's the title of this podcast.
It's all about family.
It's all about family.
Yep, that's
it. It has almost nothing to do about family other than us saying it about 20 times.
Well, it has as much to do about family as Fast and Furious.
Yes, exactly.
It sure does. It sure does. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.